bow our heads for a little prayer. Father, with this confession in thy great presence tonight, confessing, dear God, that we are willing to take the way of the Lord despite you. Oh God, as we see the darkness sweeping across the earth, covering the peoples, the Lord, that great mystic light, come in and shine the light upon your word and causing us to see the time of the day, the hour that we are living in. Lord, with haste, we want to rise up and separate from everything that is not of thee, Lord. Hasten into thy great presence. Lord, come under the influence of the great Holy Spirit. We think of Moses in the Bible, how the Bible says that he endured because he saw him who was invisible. He chose rather to suffer affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He took the way where the Lord despised you. Faith was inspired to his heart. And he saw that great prophetic hour. He saw it was time for what you've spoken to come to pass, Lord. Lord, you recognize the movement of the Holy Spirit. Something in his heart told him he's born for that great hour. And so, dear God, as you have been gracious unto us, and Lord Jesus, you have caused us to see and to come into the same kind of experience. Lord, we draw nigh tonight with expectations, Lord. We come, oh God, humbly, we come sincerely, just as the word of that prophet, approaching that great pillar of fire, burning in that bush. Oh God, like it was Paul in the road of Damascus, where he saw that great light, bright as the noonday sun, Lord, and he struck him, Lord, and he looked at the crowd out, what will thou have me do, Lord? Oh, gracious God, we see your Holy Spirit move around this place. Opening up your word and speaking to our hearts and showing unto us, Lord, convincing us. Yeah, God, this is the time of the end. The one is being taken and the other being, being left behind. Oh, God, that just like a wise virgin rising and trimming the lamps, Lord, so with haste we respond to you tonight. Hasten to come into your presence, Lord. Steal it away. Oh, God, with anticipation that as you will meet with us and you will speak with us tonight. Lord, your word brings us a faith in our hearts. Lord, you cleanse every mind and give such divine understanding. Yeah, we don't get it, Lord. Oh, God, that the Holy Spirit blowing forth that certain sound of that trumpet, Lord. We will prepare for this great hour. Lord, we see men and women moving into that channel where they can be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, there's a wave of the Holy Spirit tonight. That you can seal them, Lord, with the great seal of God. Mark them in their foreheads. Do not be guessing. Do not be wondering. Lord, do not be just coming along. Lord, not knowing what's happening, but Lord, they'll be moving in step with armor gleaming and colors streaming. Oh, God, buckle up the armor tight, Lord. Holding that sword in their hand, gripping it tightly, holding up that shield of faith. Lord, God, strong, ready, prepared for the good battle that lays ahead. Oh, how we want to see the army like that tonight, Father. I pray, dear God, that you just speak from that excellent glory. Lord Jesus, your great presence would be made manifest in your word, would it be so real to the hearts of your children tonight that they would be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. Dear God, the scriptures would be made plain, so real in every heart, will anchor the soul, will bring peace, will give assurance. Dear God, there's one, Lord, that is still wandering and coming around, but not seeing the break into that realm. I pray tonight, Father, dear God, your Holy Spirit, just give them that experience that brings the word to reality. Give them that experience, Lord, that settle all the doubts. Give them that experience, oh God, like the Queen of Sheba. Lord Jesus, you were so surrendered, you were so sold out. She was convinced. She said, "Hearken, you have been told. It was more than she could even imagine." Lord, we know that it's going to take that kind of experience to make a servant of God. And I pray tonight, Father, and your Holy Spirit, Lord, you just move to the building. You'd circle every heart and you give faith, Lord. That substance faith. That perfect faith. Oh, God, can make this world live. You prophesied it would live again in your people. And the bride will bloom again. Oh, the house of God will live again. The pyramid will stand again. Oh, God. We believe that these dry bones can live, Lord. Hallelujah. We believe that this is the hour, Lord. And that prophecy is going to bring that breath into the body. And she'll rise like a mighty marching army. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There'll be a quick, short message that'll shake this nation. Oh, God, a voice of the resurrection that brings such a perfecting of the faith in the heart of the people. We'll bring back the days of Ananias and Sapphira again. Oh, God, it'll even bring the church to a spot. Until we see the sleeping saints begin to come back up, wave after wave after wave. God, we believe this thing because you promised it for this hour, and you promised it under this message. And yet, God, we follow your great Holy Spirit. We seek and fall right down to this present time. I pray tonight, Lord, that even the strangers in our buildings and our gates, Lord Jesus, you will just so manifest your presence in this place. And they will say, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of God. They perceive this great unseen one amongst us as we make himself so visible through the unveiling of his word. Grant it tonight. Remember, Lord, the mother of our dear sister, Saint Hilaire, Lord, call in this evening and ask him a prayer for her mother. I pray as they go, Lord, they would find the situation already under control. They find the Holy Spirit of God ahead of them. They would find that you are God who hear the cries of your children, Lord. And oh God, may the Holy Spirit, Lord, bless them. Lord, as they would believe you, they would trust in you and call upon your name. They would say every devil would have to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Knowing that all-conquering name is written in their foreheads of your children. That faith of the Father is living still. The heart of the children has been turned back to the sounding of this seventh angel message. Oh God, you are here to prove every word, every promise is true. And when we call upon your name and we say, Jesus, Lord, we're going to wake you up and see you go into action and conquer every situation and bring every devil under your control for the glory of God. That is what we are believing tonight, Father. Yeah, God, this grace will even go out to them as they look to you, expecting, Lord, to see you come and meet their need. I pray likewise you will do to every believing heart, everyone that's willing to trust you, everyone that's willing to believe your word, everyone that's willing to walk in faith. Oh, God, confess that you are more than able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Oh, God, that the gospel came not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Lord, may you confirm your word in their hearts to your believing children tonight. As we expect and you will do it in our midst, as your word will be spoken by the utterance of the Holy Spirit. Grant it, Lord. We commit ourselves in the service of your hands, awaiting your divine leadership. You'd give the utterance, you'd open up the scriptures, you'd inspire our hearts, and you'd give faith to everyone tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you, we thank you for it. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Our God is real. Amen. Amen. Blessed be His name. I'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of Revelation again. I want to welcome you all in the house of God. And may God richly bless you. And you can be here in His presence tonight. We truly had a tremendous blessing Sunday morning. And looking forward that He would just keep our faith anointed. Amen. We just have to look for good services. We are looking for the promise of God. Amen. All that God promised. We can walk in victory. We can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just want to read some scriptures from Sunday. Revelation 8:13. And I beheld and heard an angel, and I told you that true translation is an eagle, because it's an eagle that brought that message revealing those three woes that have been sounded. And flying to the midst of heaven, saying the Lord God, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Because this is coming directly after the first four trumpets were sounded, and each one had to do with a certain part of the ecological system, the environment. One had to do with the earth, the other one had to do with the sea, the other one had to do with the rivers and fountains of waters, the other one had to do with the sun, the moon, the stars, and the last three had to do with the inhabitants of the earth. Amen. And then we to verse 12. It says, one woe is past, and behold, there cometh two more woes, two woes more hereafter. And verse 13, the song of the six angels says, and the six angels sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. And we were trying to emphasize that to you, that look where the voice was coming from, and it was necessary that we see where the voice is coming from, because it's going to help in the unfolding of the mystery of this trumpet. The voice came from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. The four angels were loosed, who were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, which is 200 million. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. He's seen this in a vision. And them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. So these four angels was to kill one third part of the men. But notice how the men are being killed and what they are being slain by. By fire, by smoke, and by brimstone. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and brass, and stone, and wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. And this is also put in here that it might give us a insight into the nature and character of men upon the face of the earth under this trumpet. So they are unrepentant. In spite of all these things, they are unrepentant. And they are in devil worship. They are in idolatry. And neither repented they of their murders. So it just shows how the heart of man is being hardened. See? Notice they didn't die, but their heart is in that condition. They wasn't killing those judgments, but they are reserved to be punished later. So those people would still be on the earth if they are not dead. It would be a good condition, the generation. Neither repented of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Notice again, the Holy Spirit is very careful to identify not just idol worship or worship of devils and these things, but not just being unrepentant, but murders, sorceries, fornication, thefts, all these things have been mentioned. And we could be stopped there momentarily. Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious Father, realizing, dear God, that except the Holy Spirit, no one quicken the word and reveal it. It would just be something mysterious to us and something maybe not even relevant to this present time. We cannot catch the meaning of these things. But seeing, dear God, that this great book could not have been read in no other generation but this generation. Dear God, what would be the purpose if you gave the book if it could not be understood in the past generations, and this is the last generation and we are at the end of the age. We won't be needing the Bible after this, Lord, this generation. And then, dear God, to see that if these things cannot be revealed, then it never served any purpose. But we believe that it was given that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sing, the mystery of God will be finished. And all these divine revealed mystery truths that were sealed up in this book, Lord, containing those seven seals, when it was made known, it was going to literally turn their hearts and their children back to the faith of the fathers. We will recognize our daily. We will recognize the things that is happening, dear God, and it causes us to know that this is the end time, and we will be able to prepare and make ready. Oh, gracious God, how I pray that you would just be gracious to us tonight and help us. That we truly would be able to break into the inspiration of these Holy Scriptures, and the Spirit of Truth, as you promised, would come and bring back what was spoken to remembrance. Teach us all things and show us things to come. Lord, would give us an unction that we can be taught all things by the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. And Lord, how we pray that you would just break the bread of life and it would bring faith. Give encouragement to the heart of your children. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. Amen. We want to just relax a little bit by God's grace as we turn in the scripture again back to Revelation 9. I was trying to bring to your attention on Sunday that this portion that we read here is happening in a very particular time, a specific time. And we're going to try to take our time tonight and maybe polish up one or two of the areas that will be crystallized before you, that you can grasp some of these things by God's grace. Revelation 9, verse 1. And I'm not trying to really so much teach on these seven trumpets again, but you know, I'm just in my series here with remedial judgment and penal judgment and so on, and all these things are necessary because this is the hour. Revelation 9 verse 1. And the fifth angel sung it, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And notice right away the star was a him. It was a personal pronoun put here. And he opened the bottomless pit. And notice he could only open it after the key was given to him. It was given to him that he could open that pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it goes on to describe all these locusts. And then Revelation 10, 1 and 2, 3, it says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as though it were the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And when he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And Sunday we are trying to draw your attention to show you that Revelation 9:1, here is a fallen star. Revelation 10:1, here is another mighty angel. And if you notice, as we try to refer on Sunday, Revelation 9:11 says, and they had a king over them, those locusts, who is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has Napoleon, which means destroyer or destruction. And so what I was bringing to your attention was that this fallen star was a king, he was an angel, and Revelation 9:1 shows that angel falling from heaven. He was a king of those demons. Revelation 10:1 is another mighty angel. This one didn't fall from heaven, but this one came down from heaven. Amen. Came down from heaven. Revelation 9:2, we see the bottomless pit was open. Revelation 10:2, we see the book is open. Amen. So there's an opening of the pit and there's an opening of the word. Amen. And I was saying that this portion that we read is taking place between the opening of the pit and the opening of the word. And I'm trying to show you that the opening of the book is relevant to the opening of the pit.
Amen.
See, the opening of the book is relevant to the opening of the pit. Because when that book is open, it's going to reveal to us the pit is open.
Amen.
It's going to reveal to us who that star is that fell from heaven.
Amen.
It's going to reveal to us how he's bringing his kingdom into flesh. It's going to reveal to us that we're in the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
It's going to reveal to us what the first woe was, what the second woe was.
Amen.
Remember, those things could not be revealed until that book is open.
Amen.
Remember, when that book is open, that seven seal book is open, it's going to reveal things that was, is, and is to come.
Amen.
The book was sealed unto seven church ages. It was promised in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished.
Amen.
So according to the Bible, at the end of the seventh age, we were to expect a message that was going to reveal the secrets of the Bible.
Amen.
It would be a message that was going to straighten up all the error that men produced by trying to interpret the Bible. See, when that book is being opened, it's going to be opened not by a reformer, not by a theologian, it's going to be opened by a prophet, because it was promised in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, Revelation 10:7, when he shall begin to sing, the mystery of God will be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets.
Amen.
He said, why prophets? Because prophets is who wrote the Bible.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
The word came to the prophets.
Amen.
The prophets wrote the Bible.
Amen.
And then we found out that the book was sealed with seven seals.
Amen.
And we found out that the book was to be opened, not in the days of the first angel, Not in the days of the second angel, not in the days of the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth angel, but the book was to be opened in the days of the seventh angel.
Amen.
So God promised there was going to come an age when what was in the Bible that staggered the minds of men, they didn't know what is the original sin. They didn't know really whether there are three persons in one God, or whether there are two persons, or whether there's one person. They weren't sure about it. They didn't know whether Jesus, the Old Testament, is Jesus the New, or Jesus God's Son. All these things was to be made known in the last days.
Amen.
Because just by a simple reading of the New Testament, after Jesus ascended on high, and the Holy Spirit came back on the day of Pentecost, and then the church went on until the last apostle died, which was John. Is that right? John was the last one that died, because he wrote the book of Revelation. He saw the visions. He was described, I was writing those visions. He was commissioned to write what he saw and heard. Is that right? And he was the one compiling Paul's writings together with those other writings that they had, so they could form the New Testament. And John was put on the Isle of Patmos because of his stand for the word. And they was kept that punishment, they tried to boil him in oil first, and they put him in that pot of hot oil, and he couldn't die. And then they thought he was a witch, and they banished him on the Isle of Patmos, but it was God putting him there so he can give him those visions.
Amen.
To compile that book of Revelation.
Amen.
And that book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. How many knows that?
Amen.
It is a prophetic book. It says that in the Bible.
Amen.
The words of the prophecy of this book. The time is at hand.
Amen.
And we found out that it could not be understood down through the ages, because according to what was promised in the Bible, it was not going to be revealed until the summoning of the seventh angel.
Amen.
Amen. Now that is why our message that we believe is so difficult for church people.
Amen.
Because they don't know that they can see, many can see in the early age. Paul is saying that as the serpent beguiled Eve, so do these come, corrupting your minds from the simplicity that is in Christ. Is that right?
Amen.
In the Corinthian church, in the Galatian church, he said, who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? Is that right?
Amen.
In the Hebrew church, he was rebuking them for starting off believing in Jesus Christ, and then the persecution trying to go back into the old Jewish religion.
Amen.
In the Thessalonican church, he was saying, don't be shaken in mind and troubled in the spirit. That day of the Lord can't come except there's a falling away first.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
And we see he was telling Timothy, preach the word, be in the season of the season, because the time will come when there will not endure some doctrine.
Amen.
We see Peter talking about men coming in, bringing damnable heresies. We see Jude talking about earnestly contend for the faith, which is one delivered to the saints.
Right.
He is talking to the first age.
Amen.
Telling the first age, fight the battle, try to keep the faith, contend for it.
Right.
That was only about 30 years after Pentecost.
Yeah.
This is only about 30 years after the seals opened.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Look at the kind of apostasy all over the message. Over 1,000 different interpretations of the message already.
That's right, amen.
The church back there, when the revelation came to John, it came to the first age, and it says what? Repent and get back to where you are fallen from.
Amen.
It was already a fallen church. 30 years after, it was already a fallen church. While Paul was there on the earth, no man could come with no funny teaching.
Amen.
They came up with it, but when it challenged them,
amen,
it couldn't stand.
Amen.
He said, deliver that one to Satan. Amen. Judge the thing already. Glory! Congregation, who has been with your foolish Galatians? After Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth among you all.
Amen.
And there are you Corinthian babies. Amen.
Amen.
Senor Paul and your shepherds and these things. But he shook that edge. Wherever he went, whether Galatia, Thessalonica, Ephesus, wherever he went, to the Hebrew church, he shook them with the word.
Amen.
Why? Because he had seen that super sign.
Amen.
Paul had seen Jesus Christ come back after the resurrection.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
He met that pillar of fire.
Amen.
He was taken to the Arabian desert to separate law from grace.
Amen.
When he came back and he began to teach, he wasn't talking about hunting stories and fishing stories.
Amen.
Amen. He came back with the mystery of God.
Amen.
But let me tell you, to sit down here, Paul preaching about God in the flesh and the ministry of the Son of Man, you would think he wasn't preaching the message.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Because the way he was preaching that message, read the book of Hebrews until we see Jesus teach anything there like what Paul was teaching about Jesus did.
Amen.
Paul said, I'm going to the tabernacle worship in the Old Testament. He began to go to the movements of the high priest. He began to go back into the book of Leviticus and tie all them things to the man who they call a false prophet.
Amen.
Who has mighty signs and wonders? Paul was showing us a mystery behind Jesus' life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He passed into the heavens. He's a new role, the high priest now.
Amen.
Amen. Look at Corinthians when he wrote in Corinthians. And go back into Jesus being the first fruits and all these things. Being waved. Christ first, the first fruit, and then we after one of his coming. Amen. Call him the last Adam. Look at him in Romans. Show the truth, Jesus Christ. How, brother, the law was fulfilled. Amen. Now we've been baptized into Christ's death. Now we come up in the resurrection. Now we come into manifestation of the sons of God. Now we have the spirit of adoption. Amen.
Amen.
Because we saw one can walk in the water.
Amen.
We saw one can speak to the storm. Amen.
Amen.
We saw a masterpiece.
Amen.
So he knew that was the standard. He was looking back at Jesus.
Amen.
He wasn't just seeing a prophet blasting Judaism. He wasn't just seeing a prophet blasting all them bob hair women back there.
Amen.
He was seeing an achievement.
Amen.
In Hebrews he said, he was made a little lower than the angels. He come to taste suffering and death. He come to destroy more of the power of death. Then he might bring many sons into glory.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
I tell you, see, you listen carefully and you understand the message and you understand the angle. You understand the emphasis. Then you wouldn't see that confused look on your face many times.
Amen.
Then you'll understand what is happening. Then you'll see the Bible. You'll see the Bible come alive.
Amen.
And then you'll recognize who's speaking.
Amen.
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 See, you're back there, you watch and see. Paul told them, them Thessalonians, he says, you can't remember when I tell you that the man has still been revealed in his time?
Yeah,
sure. See? But you watch, he knew Jesus had come the first time. He preached a second coming. We who look for him a second time will appear without sin of salvation.
Amen.
Right? He said, the Lord shall the Son of Heaven and shout the voice of the trump. Is that right?
Amen.
Then he goes on and says, and when he comes, he will destroy that man as soon as the brightness of his coming in the spirit of his mouth.
Amen.
He went into all three comings.
Amen. That's right.
Right here. Just read the Thessalonians with understanding. You see how much he's saying right here. You see how he's placing those things. He so understood the mystery of God. And back then, that first age, after Paul and they in writing, they showed where the early church was going to come off of that original revelation.
Amen.
It was going to be perverted.
Amen.
And that's why Paul fought. He said, after my departure, grievous wolves will come in.
Amen.
Let's clear the flock.
He said, men will rise up among your own self, speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them.
Amen.
But not while he was there, but without rod. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Without king's sword in his hand, he chopped that thing to pieces.
Amen.
Couldn't survive. Amen.
Amen.
But watch. And then he saw it coming on. When John was caught up, Paul said, I fought the beast of Ephesus.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
He said, if I come back and bring another revelation, it's wrong. Amen.
Amen.
This is the revelation here
Amen.
That people claim.
Right.
He so understood where it was coming from.
Amen.
He knew that is what the early church had to be established upon. And he saw men coming in, not understanding the age. He saw men coming in, invading the pulpit without the calling. He saw men tampering with the word. He saw the originality of the word was being lost. And Paul fought that Judaism. Is that right? In the outside and in the framework of the message.
Amen.
Had some men come and say, let's go to Jerusalem. Talk to them who walk with Jesus. Amen. Say, they walk with the prophets. They know everything was happening. Let's go talk to them. But I tell the prophet that went up to Jerusalem. Amen. He said, I sat there. He said, they add nothing to me.
Amen.
He said, rather than perceive the grace of God that's given to me.
Amen.
Amen. See? Because what was happening, it hadn't meant to there to be circumcised according to the law of Moses, you can't be saved.
Yeah.
In the message.
Yeah.
It was, it hadn't meant to come into church and saying the resurrection is done past, is that right?
Yeah.
Paul said the resurrection is past and our preaching is vain.
Amen.
Sadducees, Pharisees, those coming into the new message and not dying out of the old system.
Amen. That's right.
Not down to the old system. And that is why it has been difficult for people to understand. Because, you see, everything that's happened today is in the Bible already.
Yeah, that's right.
It's in a cycle. It's repeating itself.
Yeah.
That's why the believer revelation, they don't get confused.
Yeah,
because the revelation is to keep you from being confused.
Yeah, that's right.
The revelation is the anchor you
Amen.
To take your fears and doubts out
Amen.
By showing you from the word what is truth and what is error.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Of course, everybody who sits on it don't get it all the time, but I'm to them, when I sit down with them, explain to them, show them back and forth. He said they went to the Pope and said we had a spiritual meeting.
Oh, yeah.
So God have mercy.
Amen.
Amen. But the thing is, those who listen to it, those who catch it, those who understand, they can never be confused.
Amen.
Because every one of those groups there, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Thessalonians, every one of them were message churches.
Amen.
Who had come out of Judaism, come out of the world, and had a revelation that Elijah had come and revealed the Son of Man.
Amen.
And the mystery that was preached unto them, that God is manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, is that right?
Amen.
Receive up in the glory,
Amen.
All these things.
Yeah.
What was made available? That the Holy Spirit had come?
Yeah.
From God in us, from God in us now, from a one man scripture to a many member body?
Amen.
It was being preached.
Amen.
But then it started getting there. In Corinthians, marriage and divorce come up a problem. Is that right?
Amen.
In Corinthians, they wanted a man for a leader still. A Peter or Apollos or a Paul or something. Is that right?
Amen.
They got men who can divide the world and some of them, no resurrection, some spiritualize it somewhere over something else. Exactly.
Amen.
Men work like a gangrene. Hymenus and truth, they say the world is like a gangrene. Overthrow the set out and wreck some.
Amen.
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 Earth concerning defaith. And you look at it and you see it all over.
Amen.
And you see people going from one thing to the next. They don't know what they believe. They're confused.
Amen.
But then watch and see. Paul knew that God manifested in the flesh. for the purpose of bringing many sons back unto glory.
Amen.
And all his ministry, when he started with a young rabbi, God of healing the sick, was only signs to attract the attention. Yeah. Rebuking the organization, discerning the spirit under the second pole, was only getting them ready for the last part of his ministry.
Amen.
That was the real ministry. The first part was in the days of preparation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Matthew 24, you open the seven seals. Amen. Amen. Then he went and he preached to the lost in the hell. Is that right?
Amen.
Glory. Bring up the sleeping saints. And brother, we see how the ministry moved back here, then we see the tide back here today.
Amen.
And so as we look at these things and we understand the hour where we have come down to, we see how God is bringing his word to pass.
Amen.
And that's why the believer who is taught and listening close, because the noise is not just church.
Amen.
It's not holding on to our personality.
Amen.
It's not trying to hold on to somebody's flesh. Amen.
Amen.
It is catching a revelation of what is promised in the Bible for this hour.
Amen. That's right.
And no way you can get it except you are interested in it.
Amen.
Except you get in the spirit to get it.
Amen.
Because John was in the spirit.
Yeah.
Then the revelation began to come.
Right.
And that's what happened to many people that were in the flesh all these years. Can't shake them. God tried to shake them. But they get vexed and stay right there in the flesh. The front of the face like a big old toad frog or something. And they stay right there, cold as ever. And they still can't get in the spirit of revelation to soar into the realm to see what is happening.
Amen. That's right.
But then you find those who begin to see what is taking place. A real spiritual astral begin to break the strong barrier. They move out and begin to catch their reality.
Amen.
Amen. Now watch. And back there, I says, it showed that when the Antichrist spirit is going to infiltrate the church, it's going to make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. And by the time Paul died, he had some different isms. Is that right?
Amen.
You just read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you see what's happening. 1st John says there are many spirits gone in the world. Is that right? 2nd John, he said they bring you this doctrine of them God's speed. 3rd John, you're going to call the names. The doctrine of the Antichrist spirit are already coming kind and coming in false doctrine already. Men with a false prophet or a false teaching. They had a corrupt birth by a corrupt teaching and was deformed, and no way they can get back a real birth. They already held on to the error, burn the glory in the flesh of other people. As Paul said, he said, these beware of dogs. Bite and devour. The whole thing is fighting. No nourishment, no promise, no revelation or a position, nothing. See, they want the glory in your flesh. But look, when the church fell, God in that first age, while the Antichrist began to rise, God was raising up men. And people, I want you to catch that. That is the pattern.
Amen.
In other words, Jesus had come, lived, died, everything else, ascending to heaven. Nobody had no revelation. Nobody understood what went on?
Amen.
Some went on telling the stories, saying, knowing Jesus after the flesh, all kinds of things begin to happen. When Paul caught that mystery, begin to separate law from grace, begin to divide the age, begin to place the promise, begin to show Christ in you is the mystery.
Amen.
What was hidden in God. Is that right? It now being revealed to his prophets in these days.
Amen.
Ephesians 3 I'm talking about. The church, that hidden mystery. How is it going to come forth? He means that no other foundation can be laid unless it's already laid. Is that right?
Amen.
We can lay that foundation right here.
Yeah.
And you watch and see how it moves. Now look. And as that goes on, then the church, the people, it begins to branch off in so many different things. By the time we turn John who walked with Jesus, he couldn't even go in certain places and preach. Bible said Diotrephes, loving to have the preeminence among the brothers, he locked every door, they wouldn't receive them. Sure, men was already building kingdoms. Men was already bringing people under the control, you know, teaching the perverted truth and these things in the message of the hour.
Amen. That's right.
I'm just trying to show you what's happening today, what happens. You know, it has to be because that was the seed in the first age.
Amen.
The reason it confuses people and they get disenchanted, they don't look back in the Bible to see what has really happened back there.
Amen.
Just a few years after Pentecost.
Amen.
They failed to see. And notice something. When that truth went forth there and that Antichrist began to ride, that white horse rider, when that first seal opened, showed that man who has been anointed with an evil spirit, because when the Holy Ghost came back to the church and got Pentecost, the spirit of Antichrist came back right at the same time.
Amen.
It showed when Jesus, the Son of God, died, the Son of Perdition died too at the same time.
Amen.
When God was in the flesh, Satan was in the flesh right there in Judas as well.
Amen.
People fail to see. Now when that thing went forth, it continued right on, and when it continued on, then it began to give a perverted birth to many. And men was coming from hybrid faith, hybrid revelation. The Galatians couldn't divide the age. They saw which age they. They're preaching the message, but there's a lot of law emphasis inside it. Trying to get the people to trust in their own works and their own human ability.
Amen.
Coming to self-righteousness.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Sure. Thessalonica, they were misplacing, mislocating, misinterpreting the word. Ignorant of the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. Taking away the hope from the people. Is there no sorrow at those who have no hope? Is that right? It was destroying the faith in the hearts of the people, though they were filled up with a lot of information. And that's how the people did it. They get filled up with a lot of information, but they don't see no faith. And they can't understand why they can't live in victory and that's much knowledge.
Amen.
They're knowing it the wrong way.
Amen.
It's being taught to them the wrong way.
Amen.
It's being taught to them in a way where it can't be faith.
It's
a spirit of knowledge.
Amen.
Knowledge that exalts them like a higher wisdom. See, but knowledge kills.
Amen.
It doesn't puff you up. Amen.
Amen.
But the spirit of faith to give you victory. Amen.
Amen.
To make him the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Amen. To create an atmosphere of faith where you're walking in a place, everything can happen.
Amen.
Amen. Train in the supernatural.
Amen.
Glory. And when that began to happen, God had to raise up men. And men like Timothy, men like Silas, men like Titus. But they didn't walk with Jesus. Then the Gentiles afterward just coming in. Being preached to them. Different places. Paul goes to Crete, he finds one. He goes over here, he finds another one. He goes over here, he finds one. Amen.
Amen.
And those men are going to clutch that word. And they see down there saying, well, Paul and walk with Jesus. Maybe I should go up there and ask, you know, Nathaniel. Or maybe I'll go ask Matthew or something like the other. But you know that kind of thing. You see that man talking all day and night in every church. Setting all the things that I want in here. Amen. But whatever that was, you let them know you are God's man. Amen.
Amen.
God told you, God trained you. You don't need to go through your mind in this state. Amen. God put the word inside of you.
Amen.
God no respect to our persons. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Men raised up with the world, under the world. Could respect all men. Amen. Could relate to all men in fellowship. But they have a personal revelation, a personal conviction. They make the pillar of fire. The word for the age of burden to their heart. It become a reality. Glory. See? People don't understand that. People understand people who live here. Who walk in that sphere. Amen. Glory. It bothers the mind, they wonder, could they be right?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're really right.
Yeah.
Sure it's right.
Yeah.
If the Bible, amen.
Yeah.
If the Bible is right, they're right.
Yeah.
If they speak according to that word, amen.
Yeah.
The word can live a lie, let every man would be a lie, God would be the truth.
Yeah.
Then look how, what was happening back there? It was a lying anointing. God is anointing men with true teaching to combat the false teaching.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
The word will help me talk a certain way.
Amen.
Isn't men going out there and struggle and do all kinds of things? No. They will tend to combat a certain influence. They will tend to keep it off the minds of the people. They will tend to establish the people. Amen. They will tend to give the people confidence of what they believe.
Amen.
They will tend to show the people the certainty of the things that they believe amongst us.
Amen.
Amen. Is that what Luke says?
Amen.
Look at Luke chapter 1. That you might know the certainty of those things which are most surely believed amongst us.
Amen.
He said, "Oh, excellent Theophilus, I have perfect understanding, right, to let you know." Peter said, "We have not followed common devised fables, but we are eyewitnesses of His Majesty."
Amen.
Amen. But they had broke through to that realm where God was real to them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God was real to them. But they might be living in some little old house. They might be driving some little donkey cab or something. They had a big Arabian stallion. But it was still God's man, God's revelation.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Help to Jesus. Amen.
Amen!
Glory! They didn't feel in fear because they weren't wearing the latest thing import from Rome or from Greece or somewhere to look all philosophical or something. Amen!
Amen.
Hallelujah! But they had the joy of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They had the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
They had the faith of the fathers.
Amen.
Glory. Live by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
You know what they had was real.
Amen.
They were dressed in the power of His resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. You think they didn't understand God's raising up and anointing them to combat that thing? Any little discernment, you go and see what they taught there. John said, he that is of us, hate God.
Yeah.
He that hate us is of God.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We have declared that from the beginning.
Yeah.
That eternal life, amen, we declare to you.
Yeah.
Not another one, that one! That we made manifest, we have seen and look upon and handled.
Yeah.
The word of life.
Amen.
Glory.
Yeah.
They knew what they were talking about.
Yeah.
They was anchored to that reality.
Yeah.
You went to a little church in Antioch here. Boy, look how the Holy Spirit moved there. Spirit of prophecy dropped down inside it. Separate me, Saul and Barnabas. For the guy called them to do. They said the prophets in them was inside our church. Is that right? Show New Testament prophets, amen. Preachers of the word. Tell him forth what Jesus spoke,
amen.
The Son of Man, when the Spirit should come, it'll bring back things to remembrance. He, the Holy Ghost, will be in you,
amen.
Personal pronoun will teach you all things. Let me tell you, they were taught by the Holy Ghost in them days. We had Paul sitting with them elders there in Acts 20. He called it the meeting at Miletus. I'm transit. Have a few hours there before I go out to Rome. But meet me at Miletus. Amen. Stop there, maybe a little park, a little home somewhere. Around a little meal. And I'm going to warn the elders of the churches inside of there. Glory! They took them down to the air, to the seaport. They had no airport, them to the seaport. They kneeled on the sun and they prayed. Hallelujah! Glory! It becomes the Bible. It becomes the Bible.
Amen.
Let me have the inspiration to sketch that.
That's
and don't see quite back there.
Right.
Inspiration to sketch it.
Amen. That's right.
Inspiration to see the simplicity of God.
Amen.
Inspiration to see what made the difference is because who they were in the Lamb Book of Life. It's because what they received at Pentecost is what I taught them what they knew. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
They move in the Spirit. They walk in the Spirit. They talk in the Spirit. Amen. They act in the Spirit. Well, they know that part of bind and loose. They know there was a link up with heaven. He was the head and they were the body. Amen. The word was coming to them. They understood that mystery. Amen. Of the body and the head in union. They understood. They preached it. Amen. They preached it. And they knew that they had been anointed to combat that false thing.
Amen.
Amen. To keep that influence off. They knew what the bride was supposed to be walking in.
Amen.
And then look what happened. He raised his head of calf. He blasted for a trumpet too.
Yeah.
He caught a mystery. Is that right?
Yeah.
He raised caught something.
Amen.
Sure, he learned a lot from John. But he caught something personally.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Why is the message of the age? And the revelation comes of one man. Glory! Catches it. Then the light is spread through. Amen. In an area to others who are faithfully taught. Amen. And know exactly the same what the message says. But Abraham said, they did not take recorders back there, but them scribes were sitting there writing everything Paul was saying.
Yeah,
and then taking it out to all the churches everywhere. Yeah. Amen! Because they recognized Paul as that messenger in that age.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! They understood that he was anointed. Amen! Lord, you're speaking the mystery of God. He said, pray that God give me utterance. Pray that God give me boldness. Amen! Glory! Boy, you understood. He understood. He raised his thought to bring back what Paul preached. When he just came here, there were two spirits there. Like some going, Jews said some going to wear Cain already. Had some to wear Abel. If someone going to wear Cain, some are still to wear Abel.
Amen. That's right.
Glory. Amen. Why? Because out of that womb come twins.
Amen.
Out of that womb came twins.
That's right.
When that seed was sown back there. And they begin to realize now there was two distinct groups. There was two different influences. And either of those is revelation that people have had to catch.
That's right.
So they wouldn't be caught up in confusion and be bent out of shape with men's influence.
Amen. Amen.
And God knowing the same way he had to do to death, he had to do to people in this age.
Amen.
Because those same two groups that sat in there is matured here today.
Amen.
The branches intertwine. Is that right?
Amen. That's right.
And because men down through the years caught those revelations, understood it. Amen. And God anointed them with a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind. Like a high priest and a breastplate over here, spirit of love. Amen. But he had his stone on his shoulders, strength, power, and a strong man. He had a mic on the head. Amen. But he stood there, glory, standing in the gap there, knowing that they were the priesthood. They were the ones packing the word. They were the ones offering the spiritual sacrifices in that hour. Glory be to God, royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Amen. Then he get arguments and debates and strifes. Paul warned him, he said, don't get into that. Amen. That only work on the more ungodliness. All the genealogy, all the nonsense. They didn't see themselves in the word. They didn't know what part of the scripture they are.
Amen.
Trying to figure out all these dates, all kind of nonsense. They forget that. Amen. They didn't know what happened from 83 to 8065. I could hear Paul say, amen. Hallelujah. Because he's watching out and fall down to the present hour.
Amen.
You don't bother with that. Amen. Glory. It's a way to see it. The way to see it. They understood. I don't know if I'm going all here, but you see, sometimes the Lord let me let out to some of you all what has happened behind.
Amen.
And you know what they're pushing everything.
Yeah.
See, I don't live there and dwell there, but I just sometimes open to let you know why we pass a certain way.
Yeah.
Why you take your sheep and bring them the backside of the desert.
Amen.
Away from all the confusion.
Amen.
Away from all the nonsense. Why we could sit here and see the Bible open up. Amen.
Amen.
Service after service.
Amen.
See, people don't understand. They come in here, so some of them think, oh, this is another thing, this extension. No, sir, not at all. Not in the least. Never has been and never will be.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever seed start the church grows into a plant and then into the fruit.
Amen. That's right.
Take it right back to the first revelation, Luke 24. Amen.
Amen.
Then open your understanding that you might understand the scriptures. And you never look back.
Amen.
Amen. See? Why? Because it's been the wisdom of Almighty God.
Amen.
It's amazing grace. When we sing it, Lord, we can sing it with understanding, amazing grace. How sweet the song, amen. Glory be to God in the highest. See, God is anointing. They understood them things, friends. They understood those things. You can imagine back there. You see, Paul, the kind of things he began to teach there in Ephesians. God into the book of Joshua, began to teach redemption. Begin to show the union between God and man. Begin to go into Romans and show. But the spirit of adoption coming to full manifestation and sons of God after we reveal justification, all these things. It showed where they were at, what they were feeding on.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. The love. God, tell them, say that you in the book of life, your name in the book of life. Amen. He says, Onesimus, he says, put his thing into my account. He was conscious that the same principle in Jesus would be lived out to them.
Amen. That's right.
It was a continuing work of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
God who was with them was in them.
Amen.
He went so far to say, not the Lord, but I see. And become the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
You see, because when I come a man, when I was a baby, sitting in my mother's womb, when I was a child, I talked like a child, but when I became a man, I put up with childish things.
Amen.
He knew you was a baby. He knew you were sitting in the mother's womb. He knew that a child, Gugu and Dada, but he knew me belonged to him at full age. And he knew when God gave him the meat.
Amen.
He knew when the word broke. And he saw the revelation of Jesus a certain way.
Amen.
And it was no longer a hazy picture trying to put it together there. You can look at it and speak it. You can stand inside the vision. And he knew he's standing in the vision, speaking it in the vision.
Amen.
And those who have representation, they say, wait a minute. It being said a certain way.
Amen.
You have to be seeing that. Look, where did that come from? The Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
See? I want to see another corner. We coming to a mature place. Stage. This is their redemption. Amen. Because that's the promise.
Amen.
When he's going to make a cycle and come back around a second time.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you. You know how you're going to know it's right? Not going to be jumping on all bunch of quotes and tablets and tap themselves with it. No? When you say what unfolded yesterday, what unfolded today, and what passed in the unknown language and put it back into it and make it tie together.
Amen. That's right.
Exactly. And unless that don't tie, it is stuck right there. We're just up to here.
Amen.
1109 tapes, and not one quote on Josiah, not one quote on Hilkiah. Not one quote on another thing, and God bring a message out of the Bible?
Amen.
Onto the Old Testament?
Amen.
Look at the blessed and only potent day. God went back in 1 Kings and 2 Kings right there and bring the holy book of Revelation out today.
Amen.
God went back and bring the death of Stephen from Jeroboam to Jezebel?
Amen.
Onto the Bible?
Amen.
Get to the book of Esther? Where Mark Luther threw in the river Elbe?
Amen.
And then Jesus' imagination? Mark Luther? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And people still wonder if you're talking the truth.
True.
People still wonder if it's right.
True.
See? But I tell you, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. He's talking on his business with the death of Rada Storm. Amen. I tell you, amen. I'm saying that among my people. I'm saying to you in humility and grace. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm saying the chains on. But I have to say that I want you to know God spoke for this word. Amen.
Amen.
That's what brings faith in your heart. Because the word brings faith, you see. It doesn't bring a hand, it brings faith.
Amen.
I was telling Brother Sanchez the other day, I said, Brother Sanchez, you know something? I say, boy, if we write this story here, put different characters and put the story in another country, it'll be a great seller. People will think, boy, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
I say, when you walk in here that day, walk in another country, and see all that bush and all that grass and everything, people say, well, you're quieting them back there.
Yeah.
People are going to wonder, where do we have taxi from? We're going in the dark. Yeah. We're laughing to them and say, taxi is now be half hour waiting for people now.
Amen.
You don't think about that. I said, look what's happening here.
Amen.
You gotta write that story and read it. Boy, people will say, whoo, well, what's the place?
Yeah.
Well, people are fleeing the country for refuge and everything, but trying to economic devastation.
Amen.
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 And see, God takes that thing right down to the water, brother.
Yeah.
Like a fancy high brush.
That's right.
Loose that container from the duck and let go.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Bring it here for the dedication of it.
Amen.
Why? Because the word is right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
See? See, brother with a hammer in the hand. No wonder when they run up to the book of Josiah, the spirit was upon the overseer, the spirit was upon the workmen. Everything was revealed in Christ.
Yeah.
See, sisters, a little tray of coffee and some drops, something, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Those were empty the day before.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a meeting yet?
Amen.
Amen. Glory.
See.
What God is doing that for? To give us faith. To put faith in our hearts. To make His word real. To let us know, I will not fail thee. I will stand with you regardless. Just if you trust and never doubt, I will shine for you.
Amen.
Amen. Glory, you stand there and believe my word, I'll bring it to pass. Amen. Regardless how impossible it looks.
Amen.
And you just check back the messages back to my compass and my North Star. Amen. Tied to my absolute. Paul is well headed. Fear not, only believe. In the midst of the circumstances. Pick it up.
Amen. So when we look and we see those things, but it makes you wonder. You see, it makes you wonder. And that is why, friend, let me tell you. You see all this thing happening here. It throws people sometimes, they don't know, but you sit and you listen. And the Lord help me to understand.
Amen.
Something is happening in the midst of it and I can't seem to grasp it.
True.
It seems that some getting so excited over it. It seems that some have such faith and confidence.
Amen.
And like me, I still get in mind battles.
Amen.
Let me tell you, you don't have to live that way, friend.
Amen.
You don't have to kind of have a thing just in case this goes certainly. This ain't good. The only way that's good is to glory. So I hear all kinds of people say that. I never hear all kinds of people say that. You hear all kinds of people preaching this way?
No, sir.
See, when it gets here, you know the word speaking that.
Amen.
You know why it's been right all along? It's because it's been the word.
Amen.
It's not being somebody taught. It's not somebody trying to make a revelation or construct something or trying to do something. But you have nothing to say nothing, just sing.
Amen.
No force nothing. You never see one day somebody trying to force a thing here.
Amen.
You got to watch that.
Amen.
You don't have nothing. You drive, it has dry seasons.
Amen.
Dry season is no sign of God. Maybe God will just sing and praise God. Maybe God will pray then. Maybe God will just preach short.
Amen.
Little exhortations and stuff. Amen.
Amen.
You have all that. You're not trying to play a super duper and pull a rabbit out of your hat to entertain the people all the time. No! You're teaching them there's hard times, there's rough times. Amen! Glory! Sure. You don't get on that train and kind of try to bring something and make it kind of sound deep. That's the flesh. Amen. If God just wants to come and look around and praise God, we still got people.
Amen.
We still have faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Because even in those things, God wants to reveal things about Himself.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my, look at the message Sunday morning, I tell you. Those things right in the Bible, friend. In this hour, God breaking it open. You know why? Because so much is happening around us. I was telling some brothers, I said, more and more every day now, I see the value of the opening of the seven seals.
Amen.
I see why it had to be opened. What it uncovered. And without it, what is happening around us, we wouldn't know how to walk.
Amen.
We wouldn't know how to walk. But to see how God came down and began to show us. See, because that won't mean much to you. See, people can guess and probe and kind of wonder. But look how God take that scripture this Sunday. Make it so plain before our eyes. Word upon word, line upon line. See? John says, I heard that voice speaking from the four horns of the golden altar. Saying, loose those angels that bound in the great river Euphrates. And you know something, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit? It's so real because when we come through that series of the unseen world, You see how things happen in that unseen realm first. You see how things that is happening here is coming from an influence back there. You see how there, it has so much activity going on in the unseen world. Like the tapes we're playing for you before service. Those tapes with the healing lines to show you how many times people sat in the meeting there and Brother Bram said, everybody bow your quickly. There's a spirit, evil spirit moving from that lady. Nobody was seeing that. He said, that spirit is screaming for help from this spirit. Nobody was hearing that. See? He said, the pillar of fire just moved from here. I went somewhere, I'm looking for it. I lost it somewhere. I keep talking to the person. And they said, okay, here it is now. I understood what happened. This woman was praying right there that moment. And, you know, she had such great faith. Just pulled the Holy Spirit over there.
Amen.
He said, a couple of people just got healed right there. Didn't even know. He said, you stand to your feet. You just got healed just now.
Amen.
Nobody knows them things.
Amen.
But what does it tell us when we hear it? We begin to learn and understand that in a service like this, there's so much happening that is unseen to our eyes.
Amen.
It gets us more sensitive for when we come in service.
Amen.
It gets us more sensitive for things happening around us.
Amen.
It makes us more observant and causes us to be able to read into things in a way that the untrained mind and the unlearned and those who don't know of that realm will not be able to read into those things. Who could have looked back there and know that something had happened when them anointings moved in the earth back there? Four demons. Bound. Bound all the years. But now they were prepared for a hour, for a day, for a month, and for a year. To do what? To kill. Exactly what Ecclesiastes says. To everything there's a time and season under the sun. To every purpose of God. A time to be born. Did Jesus have a time to be born?
Amen.
Did Moses have a time to be born?
Amen.
Could Moses be born in any other time other than the time he was born?
No.
His life had to be in 340s.
Amen.
He had to be born when the time for deliverance. The people are going to be there for 400 years.
Amen.
That's why the son is a proper child. Is that right?
Amen.
Had a time for him to die. Even though he wasn't sick, God said, go up and die.
Amen.
Look at Jesus. It happened when the constellations come together. Even when Mary went to Bethlehem and said it still had a few more days to be accomplished that she should be delivered. Is that right?
That's
right. Sure. You look back at the world, it's a time for it. It's a time to die.
Amen.
Jesus had to die in April. He had to die in Jerusalem. The time of his death, the place of his death, the manner of his death, he had to be slain.
Amen.
And a certain people had to kill him too.
Right.
Is that right?
Amen.
All of that was prearranged.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus wasn't sick.
Hey.
Amen.
Amen.
He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
Amen.
Even when Pilate was amazed, he says, why don't you say back something? These people are accusing you. That was even done before his sheriff, he opened up his mouth. Is that right?
Amen.
And so we see there's time for war, the Bible says. There's war in heaven. There's war in the human mind. There's going to be war in Armageddon. Is that right?
Amen.
Then Jesus said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars down through the years.
Amen.
There's time for war. And here we see that woe, woe, woe. Three great woes. By reason of these last three trumpets. When you see war breaking into the earth, something is happening. When you see political disturbance coming into the earth, it means that there's certain spirits at work.
Amen.
What did Revelation 7:1 says? Hold the winds that they wouldn't blow. Yeah. Did anybody see those angels holding them winds?
No,
this is the war stuff mysteriously. Kaiser Wilhelm ring up King George. King George ring up this one here. This one ring up the President of the United States. You know who stopped the war? He said, we don't know. Nobody gave the orders. Stop the 11th hour, 11th day, 11th month. Is that right? 1918. World War I stopped mysteriously. Nobody knew how the war stopped.
Amen.
Poison gas. They invented there. Mustard and chlorine gas burn up the whole earth almost. What it was? War into the earth. Under the war, Jerusalem was recaptured. without firing a single shot over the city. God is getting ready. God is getting ready because Jesus said, when you see the fig tree, put forth its bud. Because God had already showed up back in the Bible. Amen. When you see Joseph brothers coming back, when you see Naomi going back in their homeland, when you see nothing's happening there. See? Like Israel coming out of Babylon, going back to rebuild the temple and wait for the Messiah, like in Nehemiah and them. When you see that thing happening, it's a sign that the fig tree is putting forth its bud.
Amen.
And the generation of Seattle will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Look and you see then, Jesus knowing the plan, knowing the text back in the Bible, knowing that the war is going to bring it, knowing that it's going to be the judgment of God to drive them back. We took it there Sunday how it was war that drives them into the nations of the world. He said, when he says, when you see Jerusalem come past with armies, let them fly between the winter night and the Sabbath day. It was war because the church went to messing in politics.
That's right.
They say we have no king but Caesar. They take a title of the Roman government. They reject the Elijah's message. They reject the Son of Man.
Amen.
The church and the state came together to crucify the Messiah message. There's a uniting time of church and state to crucify the message. Religion, politics, and demon power got together to crucify the word.
Amen. That's right.
And by the time Jesus see it and he saw the message of visitation, he began to give national signs. Is that right? He begin to point out political things. Because you look back in the book of Daniel. What did Daniel say? The people of the prince will come and destroy the sanctuary of the flood. Messiah will be cut off but not for himself. Is that right?
Amen.
What did Ezekiel say? After the slain angel go forth, this angel with the slaughtering weapons will go forth. So Jesus looked back in the Bible and saw war, political disturbance is going to strike into the land, exactly where the message was rejected, the judgment will follow where the light struck.
Amen.
Because judgment always follows grace.
That's right. Amen.
That's why you watch the church age come down true. Watch how the wars follow them churches. Watch them see them down true. Watch all the sicknesses and the pestilence, the plagues. Different judgments in the earth struck following the church age too as it went out. Why? Because the church age came geographically, chronologically, historically. It came all the way down, scripturally.
Amen.
Why do we know these things now? Because in the end time, the seal is lifted off the book.
Amen.
And there's a message bound up in the book that's been loose. And the loose of that message is to do what? Bring the evening light. It shall be light at the evening time.
Amen.
The path of glory you surely will find. Out of all the conglomeration, out of Babylon, confusion, out of all the conglomeration of voices, you will come back to the voice of God in the last days.
Amen.
The bride under her messenger become the final voice for the final age.
Amen.
The spirit and the bride say come. And what the Spirit is in the bride is already said by the prophet. And what the prophet said is already in the Bible. You couldn't add to the book.
Amen. That's right.
Don't you realize when the prophet came and said, Brother Branham, 7 times we give to some man. He said, you're trying to trap me?
Yeah.
He said, you can't add to the book. It has to be in the Bible.
Amen.
It's hidden truth sealing the word.
Yeah.
And any man should have to come from Genesis to Revelation.
Yeah.
No wonder they preach out the Genesis. We just give a bunch of quotes and they can't preach up to Genesis. They can't preach them to the Old Testament. You see it. You see? I say that not in a boasting way. I say that in a way of what is truth. Because there's so much of people claim they have that revelation. So the people have the movements and the little kingdoms and the followers claiming they have that revelation. But it must start in Genesis.
Amen.
Exactly. You see, that is why if it's according to the word, it's going to be right. It's not how it's sung to me, how it's sung to who. It's let the Bible speak it.
Amen.
If the revelation is there, let it be spoken from the word. Let the word confirm that. Now look. What is all this thing happening on the earth? In the light of all these modern events that we are seeing. As I tell you on Sunday. First place Israel took was Jericho when they crossed over there. First place they gave it up. First place Judah took when they went in that land there was Gaza. And to look, Gaza is where the Philistines' territory was. Reading the Bible in the Old Testament, had four major cities: Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza, and what did I ask when I called this Sunday? It was four of them. Ekron, I think it was. And inside there, Palestine, this Palestinian thing, is derived from the word Philistines. But people are not looking back to the Bible. America have rejected the prophet.
Amen.
The God of Israel have blinded them. Laodicea, America, amen, is blind. Great commercial city. Is that right?
Yes.
Banking, commerce. Also means woman in the Greek. People are rather woman. See the prophet says. He said America, God is a woman. Look right now, North America. Woman ruling the whole thing. Woman in Canada, woman in the United States. Everybody knows the president, the wife is ruling the nation. Look at the spirit upon that nation, that continent. And out of Revelation 13, out of America, where they were starting off with 13 colonies, 13 stripes, 13 stars. See? Where it's going to come out. Out that sixth vision where a beautiful woman is going to rise up in that very nation that will lead that nation to its destruction, to bring on the annihilation. And I took them for angels to show you what them four angels were Sunday. Four men in the earth who produce the second war. What was the four angels to do? Bring the four angels had to be loose to bring on the second war. It was in the second war one third part of men had to die. Now I'm going to prove to you that can't be the world population. Because the earth had about 3 billion people and more at that time. One third would be over 1 billion people. No time on earth that among the people died one time. Have no history, please. No way. So it couldn't mean one third of all the people on the planet. The trumpets put into Israel. See?
Amen.
One third of the Jewish population, because the Jewish population at the earth was about 18 million at that time, and 6 million died by smoke in the gas chambers, by bullets, and their organs by fire.
Amen.
Smoke, fire, and brimstone, they were killed.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Now watch. But there was something, you know, I said something there Sunday, and it might be strange to some of you, but you never hear me say it before. It's not that I now know it. It's not say it. Now that fourth one there, Roosevelt. You know, some time back I preached on Roosevelt, I think it was 19, when this gentleman, the Honorable ex-Prime Minister A.R. Robinson was elected into office, and they went and get all the intellectuals and so on, and I went back and I was preaching show Roosevelt in the time of the Depression, because in October in 89 Wall Street had a little crash there as well.
Amen.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And in preaching about the crash, then I went back to the Depression, because it says we preach about famine, depression, and then war, and how it's going to go to the third war. Because they say that is the pattern to always follow. War always follow when a country goes into depression. And I've been making a statement the last few weeks, and I've been saved by faith, and I've been waiting, instead of just trying to rush to preach the few thoughts I have on it. I am preaching and watching to see how it's going to break. And I am really becoming astounded to see how this thing is breaking. Because I told you, I said, read Zephaniah, because Zephaniah dealing with the crash in the stock market. And I know some of you are waiting for the crash in Zephaniah because you read it and you see a crash in the stock market in Zephaniah. You say, what are you talking about? But the thing is, it's there only where you get it, you're going to see. You see? But I'm passing here, and when I struck this message Sunday, and the anointing of the Spirit in the pulpit, and begin to preach and show how the trumpet was moving in the earth, suddenly begin to get so plain. And I'm watching and seeing how it's going, because right now, I tell you, it's strange how God did deal with these things. But when a season comes and a certain part of the wood have to open, like that, when the trumpet is fixing the break, is that just the Holy Spirit, like a rush of inspiration? And I've been to study ecology. And just, going to ecology, and I never study ecology before, didn't know nothing about ecology, didn't know nothing about conservation, all the different things, and in the encyclopedia, different things. And then when I saw it, and the Holy Spirit helped me tie it together. Then in the book of Esther, I started to study astronomy. See? And the Holy Spirit opened the book of Esther. And now I'm studying some economics here. And I'm studying economics and the depression back in 1929 and what happened back there to see more of. You see, we keep saying, but Abraham quote, he says, America living on tax paid 40 years. It's a statement written in the book of Isaiah too. Yeah. But then the Holy Spirit broke the traps of the mighty hunter to show the hunter, to show how he's building that kingdom. You know, that opens certain things. And I begin to discover some things. And I'm going to just maybe, as we get ready to close, read a couple of quotes here for you on Roosevelt. Because you show them four anointings that went out, them four spirits that was loose. And the four systems that followed it. And that was the forerunner to the scientific age, to the moral problem, to the rise of the Catholic Church, and to the destruction of the United States. Because when the visions come, he didn't see science rising first, then the woman getting immoral, then something with Hitler. He saw it in a particular order. And what he was seeing was into the realm of the nations, in the realm of politics. And you search through the message. He said, God ever hardly showed me anything about the nation and politics and so on. But because he was a major prophet, and the prophecy in the Bible had to do with it, he was a prophet to the world, to all nations. Amen. He was a Gentile prophet to all Gentile nations.
Amen.
The nations that were going to influence the world. And until it comes to the judgment at the end, the leading nations is what God uncovered to him, and the men who came out with that ideology. And the first one he said he saw was Mussolini, the Italian dictator. It was dictators.
Amen.
You say, well, Roosevelt wasn't a dictator? Prophet says he was.
Amen.
I'm going to read it here for you. He said, a preliminary dictator. Watch and see. Because all these things he did with America paying tax 40 years in advance, those things came under Roosevelt administration. Under Roosevelt administration, the seeds for the financial collapse was planted back there. And the dollar, the day the dollar is going to die and bring the fall of the present day money system, had its origin in the policy that came in when Roosevelt came into power.
Amen.
Because Roosevelt was elected in the depth of the depression. And the 1929 depression that hit the United States was the greatest and longest depression in the history of the world. In the history of civilization, if you know any more depression, and you study it, where Brother Abraham said, you hear Brother Abraham's statement? He said, we just sit in the church there, pick up the offering, pass the offering plate, and pick up 80 cents. He said, we make a pot, a lentil piece, and everybody in the church is going to eat off of that. He said, when you go and get married there, he buy the bed for $1.50, he buy the chair for something like that. And you know what is going on? He was so poor, stricken. He said, the man was making about $6, he father-in-law. He said, I can't make that kind of living for your daughter. That's a big living. Amen. Because in the time of the depression, you see, those things, if you don't know the history of the time, you can't read into it. In your mind, you think it's poverty. But that was the time of President Roosevelt. When he was elected. He was elected after the stock market had crashed. And on the message invasion of the United States. But I'm preaching the message of invasion of the United States. Which was dealing with the Catholic invasion of America. And the overthrow of the American government. Because he had seen the vision where it was a different kind of invasion coming to America, and they was unawares of what was happening in their own nation. Because the churches was blinded, preaching, watch communism, and he already in his vision was warned, watch Romanism. And so, because they were blinded by the church world, they voted back in a Catholic president in 1960 that was going to bring the ruin of the nation later on. And we talk about the squeeze when that way is going to come. And I say recently, watch the four leaders here in the major nations in the Caribbean here had to go up to the White House. And because of the new world order that is coming in, and because these nations here, the only way of survival is they have to be unified. Outside of it, they cannot survive as an individual nation. And many of these little countries is going to be places where cheap labor and all kinds of going to have more foreign investment. They're looking to woo. It's because with the lax laws in those places, and with the tight laws around in those places, and the pressure, they have to find places where they have lax laws to be set up the industry, pay people next to nothing, and then lose all the chemicals and all the different things. And that's how they destroy a lot of them places. Because the whole America is sowed over with nuclear weapons all over the country. It's all kind of radiation, buried landfill, sea, everything. Hardly have any place to do anything again. You remember under the Trumpets, we took those messages. They were poisoning the people in the name of national security. See? You who have been following, you who listen, and you understand what the Spirit is saying, as the Holy Spirit bring back some of these things around, you can identify with it and you can see what is coming on, why changes are coming. It's not just in the shallow way we look at it. And the media has become very expertise now in blinding people, in propaganda, in using it for manipulation of the minds of people. And the government know exactly how to do these things. See, how to control information. And that's why when the stock market, they say the greatest stock crash they ever had, the couple of days before, nobody believed it's going to crash. Everybody believed that the job was getting stronger. Everybody believed that they're now secure. People are investing and buying houses, getting into debt, taking loans, different things. And when it was trapped, they say millionaires was in the breadline. When that crash comes, there is no more middle class. The middle class is gone. The rich will control the poor. Because the whole banking system was designed to put everybody into debt. To make you a slave to the system. Friends, let me tell you. The plan to take over the world is not in a naive way, as some of us just like to think. Lucifer had a mind to be like God, and Satan needed to take over the kingdom. We think it's some little schoolboy playing draft or something. This what we're talking about here. Satan was co-equal with God. The only thing he could do was create. All what you see and all that sending men to the moon, all because of the knowledge, look at the knowledge of the tree and knowledge of good and evil. All the intercontinental missiles, all the germ warfare, look at it. All the electronic media to unite the whole world and call it a global village and bring it back small. Look at the intelligence we're talking about.
Amen.
On this message, Invasion of the USA, he says, let me tell you, when Mr. Roosevelt, the man is dead, we done dead in 1954. He said, let him rest. I trust he is. Come in and run in 3 or 4 terms and take him over. Just a preliminary dictatorship. I can prove to you that in the scriptures where that said it would take place. The fact I can prove in the scripture where it said it would take place. Rules that in the Bible?
Amen. That's right.
A dictatorship? Sure. Listen. Everything is all smarted. The Republicans are just as bad. It's 6 to 1, half a dozen to the other. He said, we haven't got no more constitution. She's broke to pieces. 1954. He said, we only have one Protestant holiday in America. And Mr. Roosevelt changed that for us. He said, that's Thanksgiving. The rest of them are all Catholic days. Every one of them, see? Mr. Roosevelt changed that for us. So we just have it on every Thursday, some week or something like that. It isn't on any regular set day anymore. When Roosevelt kept coming, the prophet is watching Roosevelt there in America, Hitler in Germany, Stalin in Russia, Mussolini in Italy, and a prophet in America, a Gentile prophet. And following the Pentecostal revival that struck America after coming from the Methodist age in England, who just come to the West. And he, the spirit of a prophet, with the anointing of a prophet upon him, had seen them visions. And God showed him into the nations of the world. And show him the man who is going to change the course of world history and bring on the second woe in the Bible that will rush the Jews back into their homeland. That will bring the angel down and commission him to go and call the bride out before Israel receive the two prophets.
Amen.
You see? Amen. So he was looking and seeing it. But remember, that was the sign when the same day the flag arose in Palestine, the angel appeared to him in the cave. But God had already shown him the nation that was going to bring on the disturbance. Because trumpets speak of what? Political disturbance, wars and rumors of wars in the earth.
Amen. That's right.
Hybrid religion. You said last week, the reason I was expressing the way I did, you preach a message before that day and before you preach hybrid religion. You preached hybrid religion was in November 1960. November is when the last bit of campaigning is taking place in the United States as they come for the great election in November. And the prophet had preached that message in November. He was seeing Kennedy and Nixon was running there, but Kennedy was in the lead because he was the playboy president, the beatnik type president, and all the women had loved him. Prophet about how they're climbing over the car doors and they pass and just to hug him and kiss him and different things. Remember that? He's watching the spirit moving. He's watching that man as a Catholic. He turned to the people caught him in the civil rights movement. He said, the worst thing you ever did. He said, sell your book at Abraham Lincoln. He said, set you free. He said, and then you're coming to vote in that very system back inside of here. He's watching the Bible. Now watch. You see, the president, which now is Franklin D. Roosevelt, you're talking about back in 1932, he says, listen to this. I was sitting there ready to go to church that morning. It came to pass, I fell into a vision. Our services is being held on Meeks Avenue and the old orphan's home where Charlie Kern lives in the part of the building. He lives just across the street now. And it came to pass that while I was in the vision, I seen some dreadful things take place. He said, I speak this in the name of the Lord. The president, which now is 1932, is speaking it. President Franklin D. Roosevelt. Now remember, this is 28 years ago. You're 1960, you're speaking back. He said, we'll cause the whole world to go to war, and the new dictator of Italy, Mussolini, shall make his first invasion towards Ethiopia, and he will take Ethiopia, but that will be his last. He will come to his end. The man hasn't even invaded Ethiopia yet. And a man in America was saying he's going to invade Ethiopia. He was catching a spirit anointing him with a fascist doctrine. You know what fascism is? It means privately owned but centrally controlled. It is a system of government. And that man, I was telling you, I said, look at Jeremiah and them. Prophets catch the inspiration by what is happening around them. You ever hear Brother Bram say, look at Amos coming up to that Hollywood thing? He says, eyes narrowed and he's clinging. And he says, while I was flying over to California, he said, he's going to preach in California. And he looked at what was happening in the streets and so on. And then he goes in the meeting that night and he opens up to Amos. And say, Amos, come into that place. They were so rich and all the women deck off in the fancy things. You know what he's talking about? He's catching his inspiration. Amen. Well, so it is. What was happening in Italy was Mussolini was looking around and seeing, what is happening right now in Trinidad? This man in the OWTU says, we're going to shut the nation down, right? Amen. The other man talking human rights on the other side. In that other party. The other one on the other side now saying, we have to do this because we're going to revamp the economy and bring a turnaround and are going on the road show. As they call it, the Minister of Finance now. He's going out there on the road show. He said, that language for all of the doing too. Because they see in what type of system has to be implemented. Listen, we can't change. We have to change it now. We have to privatize a lot of these places in order so we can keep the dollar afloat and things can go bad and different things. They are seen because of the conditions, because of the change in the world, because of how developed the country is, because of the needs, you know, to run the country and keep it out of the debt and things, because how much they're already owing. It's those things they're catching certain ideologies, certain things to implement in order to make some progress. But that's exactly what Mussolini was doing. When he got in fascism, it was a spirit showing him to read into his circumstances and bring a type of system which was fascism. What is making us read into our situation and we have a certain type of doctrine that makes us look for Jehovah Jireh? And multiply bread and fish. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Amen. You get a type of doctrine tell you when they lay you off, die to the end of you. Amen. When they lay you off, God will provide. Amen. Because this faith is for St. Mark 11:23. Amen. But when you don't catch that, you know what happens? You get your mind gets trapped there because your doctrine has influenced you.
Amen. That's right.
So why the Nazis and them in Germany was Hitler being a new kind of government? Hitler being a big Nazism, which was fascism coming into his Nazism and his fascism was going to communism. Because it's all going to wind up in communism.
Amen.
Why was it coming around the Jews? Because the Jews was controlling most of the businesses. What did Amin do with all of the East Indians and back there in Uganda? You know what I'm saying? A dictator will rise in the scene. He will not come into power. He wants to get the whole reign of power. How could he maintain power if he can turn around to convince the people he demands and need? Amen. Then he has to use drastic measures. Amen. What is he going to start fighting with? Bread, money. Amen. Hold them there. Give them the prosperity. Amen. And that's exactly what they do. And they use measures. And what is happening? You see the church get into it because the church has the money to lend them. Church, well, look at the man and say, we can support this man here. See? Church tell the people, vote for this chap. Because they have benefit to get out of it. Exactly. Amen. How will the church go to mess in politics and what happens?
That's right.
Political disturbance, war.
Amen.
It never fails to follow.
Amen.
So the prophets are Mussolini moving there and set up his dictatorship. He saw Hitler in Germany setting up his. He saw Stalin taking up the mantle of Lenin. After Lenin died, Stalin snatched power in Russia. And Stalin strengthened himself. You read the history of Stalin. Stalin entrenched himself and he began to kill everybody around him. I saw a documentary on Stalin when boy, he was so brutal. He was kicking Khrushchev. And Khrushchev was like the party clown. And then the same Khrushchev come big afterwards and wanted to blow up, you know, America from Cuba with the Bay of Pigs invasion. 1962, the Arab said the world was in the brink of war. He and John Kennedy and them had a standoff there. They had the nuclear weapons and he was threatening they're going to press the button. Sure. It's been brewing, friend. It's been brewing. It's been brewing, moving. And that's why I see in the light of what's happening, when you catch it in the spiritual realm and you see where the church, the believer, is catching the inspiration. Like I make a statement to you the other day. I says, I'm preaching this message in the days of Eric Williams, in the days of George Chambers, in the days of A&R Robinson, and now in the days of Patrick Manning. We used to live cocaine together. I have known Patrick Manning back there. My good friend Willen Hall. This is, we used to come together and this play chess and we always go to parties together. Now watch. I look back and see my friend Willen Hall went. I see where Patrick Manning went and I see where I went. We all have our own doctrine today. You know this message and what this message is preached right here is known more into the whole world than Patrick Manning is known in the world.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He's a non-entity outside the Caribbean here. Outside the Caribbean, he's nobody. And his king is going to last as long as he voted in power. This has gone to all the continents.
Amen.
Into nations where he's not even known. Into nations where he knows where that is.
Amen.
You see? He says, now look. Look what happened. The world, friend. The world that has fallen there. The word that is dropping is a lot of things. You wouldn't believe how I'm troubled about all of what I'm saying tonight. I want to close. I feel like talking too much. I feel like talking, I'm not supposed to talk. Sure, I'm feeling so. It bothers me. It's going to stack in some people's minds. Because democracy is strong for people. Who have lived a simple life and just come to church with the Bible and they show what they believe but they're in a church because the church close to the home or something. But friend, when you watch Thomas prophesy again, the spirit of the bride shall come. When you watch and see there's a fivefold ministry in the earth with a seven seal vision. Amen. You think God they reveal them things in the Bible there that seal up in this book. It shows the seals are still breaking.
Amen.
It shows the light from the seals is still unfolding.
Amen.
And you check the message and see if he didn't say light on light will unfold until the whole book is open.
Amen.
Exactly. It must keep unfolding.
Amen.
And you think the light is going to keep unfolding from there and then you will know your contemporaries? How do you think you catch the inspiration for your message? Look, for a whole season we go and we preach in so many different places. You see the message come right back around?
Amen.
We got the message come back around to the book of Revelation, come back to those bars and those trumpets and those things, and start getting that really different. Then we go back out, go and leave it for a season, go back out there, preach a little chastisement, church order, keep the church straight, keep the church. Keep their families, seeing what the path is in the assembly, keep the offices, keep the different realms of the church. functions, a body of people that God to keep on working on different things, and you preach little messages there and little teachings here and different things, correction, different things in the church, for edification, exhortation, prayer, and then boom, it breaks out again when something begins to happen out there that have to be recognized, have to be put back in the Bible. Watch until the Holy Spirit in our face, so pick it up and go right back and tie it back to the Word.
Amen.
He does it because that's the way He works.
Amen.
You know, I don't know, because when I'm anointed to say it, other than I'm dunsy and foolish, I can try to say it, but while I'm anointed, I can say it. Outside of that, you think I can explain all I've explained? I understand when it comes and the vision breaks and you see it, you get a flash and you see what is happening, and then the scriptures come out and become anointed to you, and you see what the Word is saying, then you realize where they didn't catch the inspiration. Now watch me, my inspiration comes from a man who lives in America. His inspiration anointed my life. His inspiration opened up for me to see the principles and the laws of God.
Amen.
Look at it, every man has had to find their head and their source in.
Amen.
When they come into power, let me tell you, as a young boy going to school, I used to live in Queen's Royal College in the compound outside, and Prime Minister Williams came one day and he's making a speech because he was an old ex-student. And he's talking to the people. And he's, you know, addressing the new school term and the children there. You know what happened after that? During that time, Patrick Manning, his family used to be in the party. When they had the party elections, we were the ones, the boys in the street there, who canvassed for Mr. Barrington to come into the county councillor. We were the one with all the the party people, and we were the ones used to go over Mr. Cobb to the PNM youth group meetings. Sure. We weren't in politics, but we wanted a job. And we're willing to offer our energy and our services and what we can do for the party. Because at the time, we didn't understand the political realm and all the promises. We felt that maybe they were sincere. And then, from way back there, I knew that they were grooming this boy to be prime minister one day. No. He was being groomed since back then. You ask anybody who lived in Coke and knew the Manning family there, where they said his mother's one of the staunch members in that constituency. You had a young boy. And Dr. Eric Williams, they know that he would never have no set of people wrong him, but take a liking for the boy because you had a liking for the family, of the loyalty. Because they idolize him. But what's something? He was the one, Dr. Eric Williams was the one, who send the clothes on the base and send them back out. Master, there was done. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm not for the point, I'm trying to bring a thought.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
But this is the one who has been groomed, who comes into power, had to fight off all the big close ones from the old regime.
Yes.
You know when the battle was going on for the fight?
Amen. That's right.
And in other words, I'm saying, he comes into power in the season when he has to go back.
True.
Representing the same party, you know, like a blade, a stalk, a tassel.
Yeah.
When that part of the plant is being manifested,
right,
is in a different season. And the same people who was put out, they have to go back in for aid and help and advisory and assistance and to bring that power in. And that's why you find the USA voice through the embassy there. It'll be a big strong voice. Woman power. That Miss Sally Kowal, whatever she name is. I mean, when she talked, ministers in the government is tremble. You see? But that isn't our world. But we see what that world is doing, because that is the world we could be confronted with.
Amen. That's right.
That is the world. While that is growing, why is it Ramesses is growing? Is it Moses was growing? One going to political power and one going to spiritual power, but it's going to come to a showdown.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
When this squeeze comes, they're going to take this building and close us down here. It will have to be somebody in government whose policy, national policy, approves that.
Amen. That's right.
It's going to be somebody there ruling who's seeing through that kind of glasses.
Amen.
Let me tell you right now, if you don't know. Right now, in the States, in the United States of America, the CNN had highlighted a man in this message who is pushing polygamy, and they have pictures on CNN with Brother Branham and this man and all the polygamy that was going on, and they had where one of the lawyers was reading the court, and Brother Branham said a woman is lower than a dog and a garbage sex poser. You know what I'm saying? He said it. He didn't put it black and white. And they read it in the court. See? But he was talking about them immoral women. He's talking about the condition showing the original fall, what bring the destruction in the world. The Bible says you have gates to the gates of hell. God fed Jezebel to the dogs. So let me tell you, it's only a matter of time.
Amen.
It's only a matter of time. It's brewing. That's why you see, with those things moving there, watch in the same season, how much things is breaking at one time in different realms. And that's why sometimes you come in through service after service, and you're kind of hard, and you have to press, and the word making a demand on your life, and you don't understand why.
True.
Even you preach it, you don't understand why you're preaching. Be like, whoa, if you don't push it. And then, boom, a certain season comes. And you realize now, those who was ready back there, those who paid the price, they command the word. You see, when this is coming, they rise above the challenge.
Amen.
And then those, when they see, they hear the message, they're trying to struggle, and they're smacking their sticks in order. But they didn't know where to start. And they caught trapped inside of there, because they didn't take earnest heed to the things that they see and heard. They neglected so great the salvation, and they get caught in the snares. Friends, these things that is moving here is coming up to a time. We know that the squeeze we're talking about that's going to come down upon this bride, where you can't buy or sell on these things, is going to be a crash. It's going to be in the economic realm, where it's going to bring everything into a place where you have to be organized. You have to belong to this system. The church will be controlling politics and these things. It's going to come out of the United States of America. And America is the one who has the biggest debt right now. Remember years ago, back in 1984, when I was reading the Time magazine, how it says the Prime Minister was saying that if you stack $1,000 bills, it's 67 miles high. And when President Reagan came into power, he said now it's 120 miles high, the debt was. Sure. Well, nobody ever asked the question, who is Rome owing the money? Who is America owing the money?
Yeah.
All they say, we have a big national debt. How are you going to pay? Nobody asks. And the prophet says, the only way they can come out of it is Rome have to pay the debt for them.
Yeah.
He said, that's exactly, they're going to borrow the money from Rome, and they're going to be trapped right into it. Because the love of money is the root of all evil, and it's going to come to a place now where they become so drunk by that harlot, because she's the one supporting them. You ever see a bad harlot get a hold of a young man, twist him around his thumb, drunken him, have him bazoody, give him experiences in life he never had before, have him so confused he don't know reality from unreality, and brother, she have him, she dancing like a puppet, like a yo-yo, he doing all her business, he can't help himself. Why think America is the global police? Going all over the world. See? Those things we're going to pick up in the Bible, we're going to pick up in the message. But you see, in the realm of the message, the Holy Spirit always had you to watch. And I say, I don't know what happens. What may he say? Go into astronomy. Not astrology, astronomy. two different things entirely. Astronomy is the heavens, declare the glory of God. The first Bible. Astrology is witchcraft. Then the second thing, go into ecology, go into economics, because I told you Sunday the focus is going to come on money. Rome and the Jews is coming for the money. The money situation is going to develop to bring the squeeze. Ahab needed Jezebel well to secure his kingdom. It's a marriage alliance. And you watch and see what is happening. Behind, while all that was happening out there, remember there's a little 7,000 who was under that seal, who was going to rapture. God said, I know every one of them. And there was writing under that message. And God was breaking a seven seal vision to them. Amen. Remember that. He said, President Roosevelt is going to take the world to a war. Let's move this last couple of things. He said, get it on paper, the Holy Spirit, America with this President Roosevelt will be the rascal of all of them. And that's right. He said he was not hurting you Democrats' feelings. I'm telling you, it's not a Democrat or Republican. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we're talking about. But Abraham said, when I said, my own mother, who's a square-back Democrat, watch me in the church, she was so vexed. So I didn't see. He pushed his mother so I'm going to get vexed when he blasts the Democrats. Jezebel religion, he says, this President Franklin Roosevelt, he will cause all the world help to do it, send the world to war. Haven't come to war yet during the times of depression. Same thing to Daniel. Franklin Roosevelt, I said, the president we have now will run the fourth term. He was on his first term, will run to the fourth term and will be taken into a second world war. And the message on certain songs said, this nation, our people, we have a constitution. And this constitution is our ultimate. But yet in that, our constitution is shaky because already been broken many times. The late Mr. Roosevelt made havoc out of it. So see, you can see it can be broken. It's not much confidence you can put into it. I'll show you why Roosevelt broke the Constitution. Roosevelt broke the Constitution to bring in a new financial policy. And that new financial policy is all this fractional banking, is what they call it. Where they're paying off the debts by money that people didn't even earn yet. And that's how they get them into that mess. And that is what was the seeds planted back from that depression to bring this one here. That one led them to the second war. This one is going to take them to the third war. He said, during the time of the last war on indictment, when Rome fell, these German soldiers, many of you boys know about this, them German soldiers got back up into the Vatican City. You catch it? He is saying how the German soldiers got back up in the Vatican City. Because Hitler had signed a concordat with the Vatican. The Pope had blessed the arms and Mussolini went up in the first invasion. Those were demons who were bound in the great river Euphrates. Amen. That's where it was bound. You see, many of us didn't learn these things in school. So it's difficult for us to be here today. It seems like our mind can't even grasp it. It seems wearisome to some of us. Yet, when the squeeze you're talking about, that's why when it happened all around you, and building up, you can't relate to it. You're trying to hold on to your job, you're compromising again, pressure, you ain't sure maybe the world right, because you ain't sure it's ready that late. You know why? Because you don't know the thing you're dealing with.
True, amen, that's right.
Yeah. See? But that's why you need to catch it.
Amen.
I myself didn't know half of these things. But God by His grace, let me see it. You see them German soldiers got back up in the Vatican City. They are firing out at the Americans as they were advancing. That's when the Allied invasion moved into Europe. They backed them into the Vatican. And Brother Brown called a few of the brothers, Brother Funk, Brother Robertson. He said, many of you, Brother Beeler, all them fellows in the war. He said, many of those brethren who was in that war knows, and you know that we issued orders that they could not fire upon that city. Roosevelt issued orders that the Americans must not fire on the Vatican. The one who broke the American Constitution, the one who led them into the very war. He said, the one who changed up the holiday, make all the holidays in America Catholic holidays. a Protestant nation. And the prophet says, he said, Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, I heard a speech. You stood there and he said, you boys were a target for them. The Westminster Abbey in England, you could fire on that, all right. That's where the Protestants gathered. So it was all right to fire on that, but not to fire on the Vatican, because it's President Roosevelt. I heard his speech when the broadcaster that night called a fireside talk. He said, when Rome fell, he said, such a shame, because Rome is the head of all Christianity. The Allied invasion broke Hitler's power in Rome. And the President of the United States said, what a shame. That is the headquarters of all Christianity. And the prophet says, could you imagine a Protestant saying that? A preliminary dictator? One who led the world into war? One who planted the seeds for the economic collapse of this generation? One who is the rascal of all the presidents? One who sanctioned that they shouldn't fire? Who issue orders to the American troops that they should not fire on the Vatican, while the German soldiers concealing the Vatican was firing on them and doing a target for them? One who changed up all the Protestant holidays, and not only Catholic holidays in America, in a Protestant nation where they fled Catholic persecution of freedom of religion? We're not talking about John Kennedy, talking about President Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Let me tell you, when he came into power, is when the visions was given. God gave the visions and showed the three nations, Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin, and the next one was right there in the country there. And when God showed the judgment, it was that nation where Roosevelt was standing in, was the one the atomic bomb was going to come in. That was the one in the last days when the collapse take place. The whole world is going to fall with the money when that dollar dies, because the whole world money is tied to that US dollar. When Roosevelt came in is when they made their own gold, it was illegal. And they bring in a system where you could print money out of thin air like that. Just without any reserve tied to it in Fort Knox. Under Roosevelt too. There's four spirits loose. Those four spirits that was loose, they were loose for one purpose. What for? To produce the second war. And what was the second war for? To kill a third part of the men. And what did that produce? It drove the Jews back in their homeland as a sign of the last generation. So a prophetic message come forth to pull a bride out. But when Naomi went back, is when Ruth was coming in.
Amen.
When Joseph's brothers was going back, before Joseph make himself known to them, is when that bride had to be dismissed to the palace.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And this is the bride that is called under that message. Amen. This is a message that's been repaying us all these years.
Amen.
And what is going to bring the faith, the rapture and grace, start the faith? When is it going to start? When the squeeze comes. Watch the third pull then. That will be the thing that will start the rapture and faith to the going away. It's all tied to this economic thing that is coming for him. It's heading up coming. It may look to you tonight like this, a cloud the size of a man's hand. But I'm saying that what is moving there, since these seven seals open, we look to see something like that. Back in 1984, you go back on the little series of preaching Bata called Watch the Third Pearl Now. We went into all them things, the economic black hole, the American debt, all these things, right up to the traps of the mighty hunter, all those things. Bring it right now to this time here. It's not something that they're just trying to bring up now. Over the years, watching it, even before the election had come that time, I said, look at that man named Perez. It means breach of contract. I said, they go in the election and come to a deadlock. He was going to reign for 2 years. Shammai is going to reign for 2 years. And during Perez, 2 years, he went to the Vatican and he went to the White House. And so we have found a friendly White House. I told you, how could he find a friendly White House when there's Jezebel in the White House? When a prophet preached Jezebel religion, say, look her sitting in the White House. I said, couldn't be. Today, he was the one. Where did the signing take place? In Italy? In Germany? The signing took place in the White House, facing that big obelisk that they have there. You saw it in the picture? You saw the big obelisk standing there? You know what it is? Look up in the dictionary and see what it is. Go right back to all that diabolical, satanic worship, all that fornication and lasciviousness and all the different things. See what it represents. See where it stands for us. It's a crucial time. It's a time to see the hour. We're looking for his coming. Let's sing that song. Oh, may we gladly herald the message of his blessed appearing. I keep you a little late. What time is this? It's all right, I ain't too bad. For the word's sake.
Amen.
Amen. Them false powers loose. You dig down in that revelation. Go back to some of them old tapes and see. They loosen the ecclesiastical spirit. They loosen the Holy Spirit. Loosen the false winds. Four winds. All the messages that preach back there. And see, there's another loosen. You see, the Holy Ghost is bomb at denominational rivers. When that ecclesiastical spirit is loose, you see, the Holy Ghost is loose also. While that group is riding, there's another group riding as well. Life and death coming to their final struggle. Michael and Lucifer to meet in the battlegrounds again. He said, we can see what that group is doing. How much more we can know what this one is doing as well. Oh my, I tell you, it's wonderful, friends. See, Brother Kenny has come back. We glad to have him back in service tonight. And some of the brothers who was there in the United States over the last week, back in service tonight as well. And we certainly glad to have them back at their post of duty and have the ranks fortified by God's grace. Amen. Oh, it's so wonderful. You appreciate him?
Amen.
Let me tell you, it's a great hour, friends. May you just move right on up. Try to be a real soul in this hour. Stand at your post of duty. Don't take coming to church as something light. This is a post of duty. This is a responsibility for God. Amen. That is a position that you've been placed in by the Holy Spirit. Amen. To take up your rank there. You can march with God's army, you can fly with God's eagles, you can get under the prophetic word in this great prophetic hour, when this great prophetic vision is unfolding. Amen. But when there's a prophetic bride on the scene, and there'll be a quick short myth that will shake this nation. Amen. You watch and see, friends. He's going to be here. He's been building all these years, building, getting stronger and stronger. Oh, we're looking for his coming.
We're looking for his coming in the clouds of heaven, coming back to earth to catch his bride away.
Then may we all be ready.
Yeah.
Oh, when the midnight cry is given, go and reign with Christ. Number 125 in your only belief.
Glad we made it.
Oh, of his blessed appearing.
Soon he's coming in glory. Tell to one and all.
Then awake, you saints. Oh, why slumber when the end is nearing? But get ready for the final call, or the final voice giving that final call. We're looking for the glory. Oh, that awaits the faithful.
Who
if the one we are in tonight, friend, never pray for the other one. Oh, the prize is life eternal.
All win the fight over sin.
Oh, sing the song. For that final call. Oh, my praise his wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Oh, my. What an hour, friend. What an hour. How we need spiritual revelation. How we need to be learning that word day and night. That we can read the handwriting of the wall. Here with the handwriting on the wall in the days of Daniel.
Judgment was upon that nation. They've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. The case has already been tried and judgment is about to be executed. They were standing in a place where they were going to be doomed and didn't even know it because they couldn't read the writing. Don't let it be like that for you, friend. Looking at that handwriting and trying to make out what it's saying, not knowing it's speaking the doom of many people. But right here, the tabernacle, God let us read that writing, the handwriting of the wall, showing to us these things where it fit in the Bible. The hour that is heading up. The spirits in this supernatural realm, the unseen realm, that was loose. Loose to produce a war. Loose to slay 1/3 part of the Jewish nation. Loose to drive them back into the homeland. Loose to harden the men and make them unrepentant. Look at the Holy Spirit there Sunday taking the word sorceries and showing us where it means drugs. Always wondered how this great drug trade, drug culture, that has the whole world in its grip. It must be somewhere in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit took that word and broke it down and show you what it means. And see how more money is being spent than all the food and everything else and drugs. The chemical revolution. Bring on the great chemical age. How could we see these things? How could we know these things if it was not time for it to be revealed? That don't make us nothing, friend. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it's time for it to happen, and God don't want us to be left without understanding. And God is shining light on the scriptures. The great hour that we are living in to be identified to us. We can get ready, we can escape the wrath of God that is upon us. Isn't that what happened to Josiah when the book of the law stood his tongue? He saw wrath moving. Would you like to hear the Holy Spirit speak back to you through the prophetic bride? Telling you because you heard the word, because you wept under it, you will not be here in the judgment? Oh my. Let's get ready for that final call. Let's recognize that final voice to the final age. Let's see how far advanced it is, friends. Let's have spiritual discernment to discern what we see and what we hear. Not what you hear, but what you discern from what you hear. What you discern from what you see. Is this that hour? Is it that late? Does these things mean that, my brethren? Could it be? Seriously think. That second war was to run the Jews back in the homeland. What did you tell the war is for? To clean off the earth, to bring on the millennium. Oh, friends, watch and see the Holy Spirit has been loosed too. Not just them four angels, the Holy Spirit bound at the denominational rivers of Baptists and Methodists and these things. Has been loosed by the evening message. What for? To gather the bride together and bring her back to the promised word. Take up in the mystery the seventh seal and show how to prepare for great rapture in faith. Does the thunders mean that, my brethren? Oh, precious Jesus. Father, as we examine the hour, as we examine the message, as we examine the modern events, it all accumulates and heaps up as a background to reveal the spiritual application of this hour. That we might see the great happenings in the spiritual realm, Lord. Not just earthquakes in diverse places and men's hearts filled with fear, nation against nation. Surely everyone can see that. But Lord, all these things and the hidden truth sealed in the world being brought out and being made plain among the believers which come out of denominationalism to walk in this marvelous light. The path of the just, them whom you have declared righteous, whom you have acquitted and pronounced to be just, those who are living by your faith, the faith of this hour you have revealed through the opening of the seven seals, Lord. The path of the just shines unto a perfect day.
Oh God, we see the day breaking, Father. We hear the morning star saying shalom, peace. We see King Theophany Jesus moving in and out among us. We are worshiping that living Christ, who we know is great as he ever was. Oh Father, I pray, dear God, all these things, these great marvelous things that we are so privileged to see and hear. We see the time clock striking the hour. Oh God, soon it will all be over. He that is filthy be filthy still. Seal not up these things, you said, because the time is at hand. God, I pray that you will give unction. That we'll be so unctionized to speak these sayings which are faithful and true. This which that angel who had one of those seven vials had revealed unto us. That we might be prepared and make ready for your coming. As we see you recycling back many of these things and bring it up further to the hour where we are living in now, where it is more completely revealed, Lord. God, what peace does it bring in our hearts to see that the revelation was right all along. It is the same Holy Spirit in another season as it advances on, going back and picking it up and bringing it on to this present hour to show that we are walking in step. We are under the leadership of the great pillar of fire. May shine round about us by day and by night. May shine down in our hearts. May he make himself known to us in such a way. There will be nothing between our soul and him. We'll be so joined. There'll be such an affinity, such a union. Oh God, his life will be so projected through us. The one that we feel, the one who presently stand, the one who we love and worship, will be made so personalized among us. Oh God, we desire that, Father. It's been spoken that it shall be. And something in our heart tells us that we are nearing that time. And we say, even so come, Lord Jesus. May you grant it tonight, Father. Take us up a little higher. Let us walk a little closer. Give us a little deeper insight. I pray, dear God, for them who is still hazy. They still see through a glass darkly. But Lord, that which is perfect is here. As your prophet said, we have the perfect interpretation of the word. May, oh God, their eyes be so anointed that they will see plainly. Give them that second anointing. Their eyes will be open and they will see this great vision, Father. Surely to the tremendous desperation. Surely they cannot see these things and then live haphazardly. Surely they cannot see these things and just go along with a lukewarm spirit. Surely, oh God, they'll buckle up the armor tighter, lay aside every weight and every sin, oh God, and their lame feet will be healed and brought back into their path. Surely you will understand the urgent, why there's that urgency in the sound of the trumpet. May you grant it, Lord, we pray tonight. Even those, oh God, who might be trained to a denominational voice and all they know is churchianity, no fault of theirs, Father. They might be hungering for truth. They might be hungering for that reality. But their minds have been trapped and bound in that ecclesiastical realm under the sound of a church voice. Being brought under the influence of a creed and a dogma and the tradition of men. Where men's words have been lifted up above the word of God. And where they ignorantly worship the devil, not knowing it. But tonight I pray that the Holy Spirit break that spirit, Lord. Drive it away, oh God, and cause their eyes to pop open. and see you in the fulfillment of your prophesied promises. Cause him to recognize it's a new day. It's a day beyond denominationalism. It's a day when that bride is being called of Babylon and being gathered together. Come out of my people. At midnight, when that voice cried, "Behold, our bridegroom cometh," they went out to meet the bridegroom. Oh God, I pray tonight, Father, that these scriptures will become so effective through the operation of the Holy Spirit. No flesh and blood can reveal it, but the quickening of the word is here to quicken the word and make it effective in the hearts of those who would be willing to trust you and believe you. You can call them out of darkness to walk in this marvelous light, and they can show forth your praises. And knowing if they walk in the light as you in the light, then their blood cleanses them from all sin, and they can have fellowship with you. Would you do that, Father? I pray you would tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, as we leave this place to go to our homes, go with us. Keep us in your presence. Keep us in fellowship. Give us like Daniel, when he saw the time, he took the writings of the prophet Jeremiah, shut himself in his secret closet, and he began to dig down in the woods of the prophet, struck that revelation, and brought the angel Gabriel down in that channel to give him skill and wisdom that he might consider the mark and understand the vision. Oh God, may it drive us into consecration, and may we find the Holy Ghost coming up to reveal these deep secret things to take the church over Jordan. Grant it, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Dismiss us from this place and from your presence. These requests, laying here in this pulpit, I lay my hands upon them, representing all these who are needy tonight, and all who might have a desire in their heart, even while they sit here in your presence now. God omnipotent, I pray out of the abundance of the riches of your grace and mercy, you who know every need, and you who know every heart, and you know where there's a pull of faith now, and there's one saying, "Come by here, Lord, remember me, Lord," standing in the near prayer. Lord, may you minister to them what they have need of, and they will have that deep, settled assurance that what they are asking for is met tonight. That you see them, you know their need, and you recognize their faith, and you will give it. You have given it to them in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, good Father. We love you and appreciate you, and we commit everyone now to your hands. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. We have announcements. Saints, I advise Friday we want to come right in, and we're going to have communion, the Lord's Supper, and feet washing. We're going to observe that on Friday evening. Amen. And on Sunday evening, we will have another praise service. And something very special, certainly we would like to highlight, and we trust it will be a great blessing. The last one was a tremendous blessing. So many of the saints there, and the things that the Holy Spirit have done for them, and what God have done through the assembly, and you know, Brother Ulrich, our poet, who has changed dwelling places, and we want to have one for him, and later on the next couple of weeks coming up as well, we want to have one for Brother Donis Williams. Many of the songs that they sang and ministered to us during the time of their ministry while they was here with us, that we can go back into some of the songs, and they can be sung, and the things that are relevant to this present time, and the things that God has inspired and revealed through the songs by God's grace. And we're looking forward also, after the service on Sunday, to bring your lunch. Stay around the grounds, relax, fellowship. You don't need no big plate of food, just a couple of sandwiches. And we have that, I believe, at 3 p.m. And then we get out about 5:30, and then you're on your way by God's grace. So we're looking forward for a wonderful time on Sunday. Morning service at 10:30 a.m. Come in early at 10 o'clock. Let's get into the consecration. And the healing lines that we have, I trust that many of you are being healed, many of you are being delivered. I trust that you are getting into the spirit of it, and you are catching what the Holy Spirit is opening to you, and many of you are getting your attitude and approach to the Holy Spirit in receiving your needs and having it been ministered to you, that those attitudes are being corrected, and your understanding is been more enlightened as to the working of the Holy Spirit in your midst by God's grace. So I trust that you are really being edified and being blessed and better established, and we can see a greater working and moving of the Holy Spirit among us by God's grace. So God bless you. We are dismissed. Let's sing, "We'll Walk in the Light, the Beautiful Light. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world." Let's be out Friday. Let's come out early. Have the Lord's Supper. We've been longing to do it for a while. And after all these messages, cleaning up and everything else, I believe we should come with real consecration, for real rededication Friday night. A real Holy Ghost time of prayer, communion, feet washing, real rededication to serving each other, washing each other's feet, real spirit of body love to be loose. That might be bound through little grudges and little spirits and differences. May the Holy Spirit speak and say, loose that spirit, amen, of humility and service and brotherly love and thinking on the things of others and esteem each other better than yourself. As you wash one another's feet, there'll be another wave sweep through. Amen. Bring a charge of the Holy Ghost to love one another and have all things in common. Amen. By God's grace, that day advances, friend. Let us catch. Let us be spiritually minded. Let us catch the working of the Holy Spirit. Let's get right into it by God's grace. And I tell you, every home there'll be a changing. There'll be an ascending. Remember, we are ascending in a higher order. Remember, that wasn't a sermon, friend. You're going up, being ascending to higher order. And you will come up with it, friends. You're going to find it's way up here. And you're struggling down here, waiting for God to come down. Let's rise. Rise and shine. Your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. But gross darkness is upon thee and the peoples. But you rise and shine. Let's walk in that light, that beautiful light. Let it be on all in us, all around us, by day and by night. That light is Jesus, our great pillar of fire. He is the light of the world.
Yeah.